not appear. Let's go to Mark in Acton, Massachusetts. Mark, you're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to bore in a little bit more on that first question you posed, Tom, and that is the organization of this trip. And I heard, Mr. O'Hanlon, your response, which I thought was somewhat superficial in that I have read the interview that you gave to Glenn Greenwald last week, and I wanted to find out whether this is actually true as to what you folks did. And the question is really directed at both Mr. O'Hanlon and Mr. Cordesman. Mr. Greenwald says, as a result of the interview, that you were there for 7.5 days. You spent every night ensconced in the Green Zone in Baghdad. You didn't spend a single night in any other city, and that you, Mr. O'Hanlon, admitted that you spent no more than between 2 to 4 hours in every place you visited outside Baghdad, much of which was taken up meeting U.S. military commanders, not inspecting the conditions on the ground, and that your... In fact, the point of your op-ed was to stress the fact that this was the focus of the perspective of the U.S. military, and that you essentially relied on the fact that the idea that the military was telling you the truth.
Mm. Mark, let us pick it up. Michael O'Hanlon, Glenn Greenwald, Salon.com calls the whole trip a ludicrous and misleading spectacle. You hear the kind of questions Mark puts forward. What do you say?
Well, I don't have high regard for the kind of journalism that Mr. Greenwald has carried out here. I think that he's missing the point, which is that what's going on the ground is fairly striking. And I think there's a much more serious criticism of my position, frankly, which is that what you've been sort of intimating at, Tom, the Iraqi political progress is not there. And how much longer can we keep making military efforts and sacrificing the lives and well-being of our men and women in arms if we're not seeing the Iraqis do their part? And moreover, the opportunity cost, even though Tony's right about the budgetary cost being finite, the opportunity cost of how we define our role in the world is actually very high, because we are not able to project other major efforts in the war on terror of perhaps a more conciliatory or soft power nature, since the whole world sees us in Iraq as the preeminent foreign policy activity of the United States. To me, that's the serious critique. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time rebutting Mr. Greenwald, because he's had, frankly, more time and more readership than he deserves. I worked very hard, along with my colleagues, to get information about what's going on the ground, and I don't think I overstated the case. For example, a one-third reduction in civilian fatalities, even though that means that Iraq is still extremely brutal, easily the most violent country in the Middle East, and still a country at war. I don't think I sugarcoated. I don't think I went out of my way to tell a story that was based on a dog and pony show. The military progress is real. Critics should focus on why the opportunity costs of continuing are still too high nonetheless, rather than worrying about my motives as if somehow, you know, I gained some huge benefit. I've made a lot more political enemies in my own party, the Democratic Party, than I've gained in any other way by virtue of this trip. So I'm a little upset by it, but I just think it's a waste of time that our debate should focus on whether this trip was the ultimate fact-finding mission. Of course, there are facts that we did not claim to report about: the state of the Iraqi street, the state of the Iraqi economy. Those are in our Iraq Index at Brookings, and for 4 years I've been showing that there has not been a lot of progress in those areas, and I've been very clear about that. So I don't think I'm a very interesting story here. What's interesting are the facts on the ground in Iraq, and they are relatively promising on the battlefront. They are not at all promising in the political sphere. They are not very noteworthy at all in the economic sphere. Draw your own conclusions. Let's have a policy debate. That's the interesting conversation.
Mm. Anthony Cordesman, we've just got you for a couple more minutes. Michael O'Hanlon will stick around, but talk to us about the timeline then.
Was somewhat superficial.
The Iraqi political process forever.
Mm. And of course, as you both point out, political conciliation, whatever may be happening militarily, is exactly what has not appeared. Let's go to Mark in Acton, Massachusetts. Mark, you're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to bore in a little bit more on that first question you posed, Tom, and that is the organization of this trip. And I heard, Mr. O'Hanlon, your response, which I thought was somewhat superficial in that...